I'd like us to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Well, I say that. We'll see what happens. We're not going to be very long. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, we're just going to look at one verse. I read the passage, but we're going to look at just one. That's what we're going to key in on. Let's see here. Starting in verse 15, Paul writing, he said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." This is a tremendous short little passage here. There's a whole lot of things we could look at, but I'd like us just for a couple moments to look at verse 18. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, I was thinking just some things in my own life, and then now it's like this week all of a sudden it just snowballed. All the things that are going on in our church, in our friends' lives right now, family, maybe even things that we are going through that nobody else knows about. And I often think about this verse. It says, "In everything, give thanks." Now, how is our response when we get something thrown at us? Or in a situation where we're going along, minding our business, going along our merry way through the day, and something disrupts our plans. Now, Lord willing, none of us is going to have something like cancer disrupt our plan, or kidney failure, or these things that are heavy on our mind right now. The health of a loved one, someone who is near and dear to us. But as I was, well, a lot of this comes from something in my life, and I was actually able to share it with my parents just recently, how God took what was meant for evil and he turned it around for good. And it took a lot of, it took God a while to get through to my heart about it. I'll wait to get into all that. But, you know, this whole idea of thankfulness has the idea of being mindful of favors. It's expressing a sincere appreciation both to God and to other people for how they benefit my life or for how they have done things. You know, I was trying to share with Peter. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've never really been in a situation like that. I talked to Kirk on Monday. He shared that you guys have gone down, I think, Friday or Saturday. I told him, I said, you know, I really don't know what to say. But I want to go. But I don't know what to say. I feel totally useless, helpless. I don't know what to tell him. And I remember he shared a lot of things with me, and it was good. And something he said was, just your presence means a lot. That you love him, that you're there. You know, that's so true. As we think of situations in life, you know, even when I walked into Peter's room, hearing his whole spiel about it, hearing how he's treated people, mistreated people, and how they all eat it up. And he could very easily have a whole different perspective. Johnny and I were talking about this before church. His focus could be all on himself. I don't want anybody around. Just let me be. Now, I might be that way. I've never been in that situation. But, you know, it would be very simple to be in despair and be, you know, you think of all the things that have transpired in his life in just a few short months, and yet he has such a calmness and a surety and a strength. And as I think about this verse, and even Pastor, going through all these things, leading up to all this, the majority of nights he doesn't sleep. His knee is killing him. And then he's got all these things on top of that. And he's hobbling around here. It would be so simple. You know, as I think about my own life, I complain about a whole lot less. And I throw in the towel on things sometimes that are just minuscule compared to this. And I see these two men who very quietly just are steadfast and persevere and go through life thanking the Lord for the day they have and the strength they have to live it. And I shake my head and think, they're wonderful role models. They're an example to me of what this verse is talking about. In everything, giving thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for your life right now, that you be going through this situation. You know, we can look at all situations in life, and we can respond really in two ways. We can respond in a way that's submitted to God and say, all right, Lord, I don't understand. It hurts. It's not fun. It's maybe not popular. And God, I don't like it. But you know what, Lord, I recognize it's from you. And I'm submitted, Lord, and I want you just to work it out in my life. I may not ever understand why you allowed it, but Lord, accomplish your will. You know, and you can have the flip side of the coin. Someone who, when God allows something to come into their life, they struggle and they buck against it, and there's resistance. They can't accept it, and they reject it, and it's repulsive, and they're always pushing against what God is trying to use for His purpose. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes God's used people to accomplish His will. There have been people that God has put into my life that I rejected, and they were repulsive to me. They had a message I didn't want to hear, and they were trying to tell me something I did not want. But God was trying to teach me something through them. And anyway, when we come across things in life, this verse, I think, is so key. Well, really, this whole passage is speaking about rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and everything give thanks, quenching not the Spirit, despising not prophesying, proving all things, holding fast to that which is good, abstaining from all appearance of evil. You know, this whole list of things cannot be done if you and I are not walking in the Spirit. These are not things that we can do on our own. But it takes a submitted heart to God and allowing Him to dictate what we do. And I think of James, where he said how every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. I think of Job, the things that man went through in just, forget if it was one day or just that short period of time, he lost everything he had. You know, it'd be one thing to lose your house. It'd be another thing to lose all of your wealth. It'd be another thing to lose a child, not to mention all 10. And in a short span of time where it was boom, 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 and then you lose your health. And how did Job respond? In despair? Why, God? Why me? Well, instead, we often pick on his wife for quitting and giving up on God. I can't say that. I can't say what I'd say. And we give her a bad time, but none of us have gone through that. But here Job said, naked came I out of the womb, and I'm going to go back the same way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And with that, he bowed down and worshiped God. Worship God. You know, Think of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, part of being thankful, I think, first of all, comes from recognizing that all things come from God. You know, there is nothing that God allows into my life that He didn't approve. Nothing. Satan wasn't able to sneak anything past God and throw a monkey wrench into my life without God approving of it, saying, go ahead, I'll allow you to do that. You know, when we think about what God does through these things, you know, He allows it into our life for our good, for the benefit of others. You know, if we respond to these things the way that we ought, God's going to change us, and all that does is bring us closer to the, in the process of changing us, it brings us closer to what He wants us to be. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, let's see here. I better get this or I'm going to mess it up. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? In other words, all things that I need to accomplish His will. He's given to me everything I need to do what He's created me to fulfill. And I think about different things in life. I was 14 years old, and we had a church that was, you know, I've shared some of this before, and I'm not going to rehash things. But in my own life, something that was a turning point was when I was 14 years old. 13, I was just a couple days from 14. January 6th, 1999. Never forget that day. It was a red letter day in my life. Our church had a pastor who wanted to dissolve the church as it was and then, I guess, reinstitute a new church. I forget exactly how it was, but it was a tax status of 501c3, tax exempt status. And he believed that the Bible said you shouldn't, you know, if you were under this whatever, that you were paying tribute to Caesar. And anyway, it was a ridiculous mess, very unscriptural on a lot of things. He also believed that if your church couldn't trace its history to John the Baptist, you weren't truly saved, if you hadn't gotten saved in that church. And so after this church split, they found a church in South Dakota, and they bused, I think it was 6 buses, about 200 or 300 people, all the way out South Dakota. Probably you're looking at about a 8-hour trip, maybe 9. All these people went to that service for that day. They got saved in that church, which could trace its roots back to the John the Baptist. Well, then they went home, and then, whoops, we need to be baptized in a church that can, it's just a ridiculous mess. Anyway, I'll never forget, things had come to a head, and there were only 2 deacons for whatever reason. I think a lot of the guys had just, this is crazy, I'm out of here, kind of thing, I can't deal with this. Pastor was very abusive, very powerful man, very abusive. And anyway, push came to shove. The church voted, and those who were for this change went forward, and those who weren't sat in their chairs. There was a bunch of old ladies and almost retired people and my dad and my mom. They made us stay home that night. It was a Wednesday night service. And they got yelled at for a long time. And basically, my dad and this other deacon, you know, they didn't know that each other were not, you know, they had not conspired. There was nothing going on like that. They just said, we can't do this. And then they saw who else couldn't do this as well. That's just kind of how it happened. But overnight, I lost all my friends. I'll never forget. We got a phone call from this pastor, and he shouting and screaming and calling my dad all these things. And the thing that scared me the most was one night Dad came down to my room and he said, he goes, I want you to do something for me. They'd called the Christian Law Association, David Gibbs in Ohio, I believe, gotten a lot of legal advice. And he said, I want you to do something for me. If anybody from that church, from that group shows up, lock the doors and dial 911. See, there was a long history with a lot of guns and things like that. And this pastor had men, all ex-military, who were bachelors and nuts, like wacko, psycho kind of people. I look back and I was telling my dad, I said, how did they even get in our church? And he's like, I don't know, but just nuts. But they were the kind of people who were totally blind, and they would do whatever this man said. And anyway, our church went from about 300 to right here, you know, about this many families, if you were each a family. And I'll never forget how angry, hurt, confused, upset that I was through that whole situation. We used to have teen activities once a month, 30, 40 teens, great big time. It was great. Teen choir, teen church, all the teens sat in their own rows in the church, and on and on and on, all these things. And I'd just gotten into that program. That was what I'd looked forward to all my life. The guys who had the pimples on their face, I wanted to be just like them. Oh, man, until I got those, and then it wasn't fun anymore. But I'll never forget, overnight, my whole life changed, and we were left with just a pretty much empty church. We shut down the auditorium. We met in a classroom just to try to conserve heat and cut expenses wherever we could. We were not going to make it financially. It didn't look like it. And for a long time, you know, there was just all this upheaval, always stress, always these things. And I told my brother one day, I said, if I ever meet that pastor again, I want to kill him. And I was serious. You know, it's amazing how you can get to a point where out of hurt and bitterness and anger, you can get to a point where you feel justified in doing something like that. And now, if I would have, I don't know. I never came across him, thankfully. But in my view, he messed up my whole life. I went to Ambassador. Kind of got sent to Ambassador, let me put it that way. And I got more Bible preaching than I'd ever heard in my whole life. And God began to before it was open your Bible to this passage, I'm gonna read a verse, maybe, pull it out of context. And I'm going to apply it in any way, shape, or form that I want to make it be. And usually you'd never hear the Bible. It's just a lot of screaming and shouting and all this hype. Boy, I went to Ambassador and I got more Bible than I ever heard in my life. You got it in every class you got preached at. You'd go to dorm devos, you got preached at. It was usually kind of out of context, depending on who was preaching. But Elton Deal, John Godfrey, Matt Hankey, God used those guys to just begin to, Ernest Childs, David Cummins, Dr. Charette, and they didn't even know they were doing this. They were just faithful in doing what they were doing. And over time, it began to really change how I began to think, and I got to have an ear. I began to listen, and it wasn't until my sophomore year, former pastor, Kevin Broyhill, came to Ambassador. My mom and dad had finally just left the church that we had been in all my life. And there was all this struggle with it, and there was a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of upset people. And again, you know, you... Anyway, never forget, I went to chapel that day. Kevin Broyhill got in the pulpit and began to preach on bitterness. And man, he put it right down the pipe. And it was Bible, 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 Bible. And he's one of those preachers that gets, he's not afraid to make direct application. And he said some things that day that God used to just break my heart. And I didn't get emotional, I didn't cry, but man, I could not wait to get to that altar because I knew I had to get this right. And I went down there. I remember I was sitting on the left side by the breezeway side, about halfway up. I knelt down by the breezeway doors and I said, Lord, the last 6 years has been a mess in my life, and I'm angry and I'm upset and I feel hurt. And God, I'm wrong. Would you forgive me? And that day I just poured it all out right there. And I said, God, I don't know what you want to come out of this. I don't see anything good coming out of this. But Lord, whatever it is, I want you to have my life. And just that day, just simply, that's what I did. I just said, God, I don't know. My hands are off. I can't control it. And I don't want this anger anymore. I'm tired of it. Boy, you talk about having so much pressure and everything just lifted right off of you. I walked out and I was on my way to class. My cell phone vibrated. It's my mom. She said, you'll never guess. I just had to catch you. I know you're between classes and whatever. She said, I just had to catch you. I got a letter in the mail from somebody at our church. A dear lady who's now just with the Lord. She just died a couple months ago, 103 or 104. Sweet lady. Very close to her. And she'd been very hurt and very bitter against my family. Wouldn't have anything to do with this anymore because we left. I got a letter from Mabel asking us to forgive her for how she felt. You know what that did for me that day? Boy. Oh, wow. I walked out of there, down to my class, thinking, God is real. He answers prayer. His word works. This thing is real. There, I got right, and look what God did. And, you know, over time and seeing, you know, even coming here to Maine and getting to work with Pastor Townsend and having him talk and help and getting to work in a ministry and do things like that, it's given me a different perspective on things and it's changed my mind on things, and I've gotten to grow up a little bit. And I can look back now on that whole situation in a totally different lens. You know what God did? Yeah, God took my friends. God took my family, you know, and just made my family a wreck. And God did this. And man, it's just, hey, that's how the majority of my friends are. I look up on Facebook some of those kids, you would never know they were Christians. Everything from tattoos to almost a gothic appearance. I mean, they've just gone, and these are kids that were more spiritual than I was. And today, you know, to see how they responded and where they are now, it makes me so thankful, because I can look back and say, Satan meant that for me. That's the direction Satan had for me. But wow, look at what God did. I didn't even know what God was doing, but look at what he did. He got me out of a church like that. It called itself a church, but it wasn't a church. I'm sorry. He got me out of a place that didn't teach biblical doctrine. He got me out of a philosophy that wasn't biblical. He got me away from friends who weren't true. He got me away from so many influences that I can't say anything but thanks be to God. I don't know how to explain it. And why God did that, I don't know. But, you know, I was talking to my folks, and, you know, it's amazing. This is almost 20 years ago now, and there are still such deep hurt and hard feelings in that whole Christian community in that area, because I think out of that split, five other churches have started, and they're all rubbing shoulders and all the time. And my folks have just kind of gone from one church to the other trying to find a church home. They found one recently. We were talking about it, and I just had to tell them. I said, they were sharing some things. I said, yeah, I know, it hurt. But you know what God did? You know, I was in my truck when I was saying that, and I didn't even, you know, it was nothing I'd planned. It's something I'd wanted to tell them for a long time. You know, thank you for doing that. Thank you for, maybe you didn't do it the right way, but with what you had, the knowledge you had, the light you had, you obeyed it. You walked through the doors, and no, they didn't do everything right. You know what? I can make you a whole list of things I didn't do right. But I'll tell you what, I am so thankful today that in something that Satan could have used to wreck my life completely, God took it and changed it. And it's years down the road, but it was through His Word and His Holy Spirit, the influence of people around me that weren't afraid to tell the truth. Hey, you better, you need to think about that. Or, you know, you need to think about your opinion there. What does the Bible say? You know, I had friends like that, and it always confronted me and pointing me back to the Bible and to the Word of God. And it changed the direction of my life because, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, believe me, just ask my wife, she knows a lot more. But there are so many things that I could be in today. And I look at that, and I was going to share some other things here tonight. I'm going to wrap this up. But here, you know, I look at our church now, especially these last couple of days, and I see, you know, again, these are pivotal moments where things like this happen. And we can respond, and we can just be carefree and just, you know, we'll get through this. And, but, you know, as I was thinking about that, how God used people in my life, we need to be those people that who are looking to be used by God. You know, when there's somebody... we weep with those that weep. We mourn with those that mourn. We laugh with those who are rejoicing. We are there for who? For people. Pointing them to the truth, pointing them to Jesus Christ, but being there to help them do right, help them along the way, encouraging them, giving them counsel if they need it. But, you know, there are some times where people just need an ear. And in situations like this, sometimes that is the case. You know, I look over these last few days, and all I can say is God is so good. It's easy to say that when you're thinking about Pastor and how God has just blessed. He has answered prayer so abundantly. And it's such a blessing. I'm amazed to see what God's done, and I'm going to be amazed to see what He still has in this, you know, for the plan He has for this man's life. And I want to be there to help him and to come alongside him and whatever. Then you look at Peter Pease and his situation, and it's hard to remember to be thankful. But I was sharing with Peter yesterday, and I don't remember, I don't know if he really heard me even. But I said, you know, I'm really thankful for you. Things that you have exemplified, your faithfulness, your tenderness, just little tidbits he has told me over the years. And you just flood right back through my mind as I'm sitting there telling you. I appreciate you. And I love you. I said, I'm looking forward to seeing you again. Amen. You know, so it's a blessing. But those are moments where we can find something to be thankful for. Thanking God for what He has done. But, you know, and always looking for what is God going to do through this situation? We have people hurting. What does God want me to do to help meet the needs that they might have? How can I be of assistance? How can I be God's tool? How can I be available? You know, and anyway, I know this is kind of shotgun tonight. I sure didn't mean this, but this whole idea of being thankful in all things, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. That needs to be our focus. Giving thanks to God, even when we don't see the end of the tunnel. You ever see a rug? You take a rug and you flip it over and look at the back. It's blurred, the image that is, you know. I had a great uncle that, I can't even think of what kind of rug it was. It was real fuzzy things, and he put designs in them. He was mentally handicapped. But if you looked at the rug laying on the floor, you could see a picture. Okay, oh, that's a duck flying across the sunset, and there's a lake down there. It's, you know, great big rugs, whatever the picture might be. But if you flipped it over, all it looked like was the ends of yarn, okay? It's just this big old mess. Trials in life are kind of like that. That's how we often see these things. It's a mess. It's blurred. You really can't tell. Hey, some of those things you look at the right way, you still can't tell what they are. But, you know, but God has a picture that He is creating just on this side of it. Sometimes we don't see it. But we still need to be thankful. Still faithful, pushing on toward the things of God. Anyway, that was something that's just been on my heart for a couple of weeks. I had to spill it. But please, you know, try to ask the Lord, how can I be a blessing to these folks over these next days? And, you know, but giving thanks in everything. If that was our focus, what a difference we could make. Let's pray. I thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for this truth and thankfulness and being grateful for the things that we have. Lord, thankfulness is not our natural tendency. It is something that is really only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can do on our own. Our natural tendency is to murmur, complain, be disappointed, frustrated, distraught, throw in the towel and say, I can't do it. Lord, sometimes You allow things into our lives to where we come to that point, and You bring us to that point where we say, I can't do it. And I thank You that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. Lord, we pray tonight for Pastor, that You would strengthen him, not just physically, but spiritually. We thank You for the things that You have shown him through this whole ordeal, the way that You've drawn him closer to You and grown him, stretched him. Lord, just empower him tonight. Be with his body. Help it to regain its health, be healed, bring him back to us quickly, even sooner than expected, if that would be Your will. Pray tonight also for Peter, that You would continue to use this man while he's here on this earth. Lord, we don't know the end from the beginning. We don't see what's going to happen tomorrow. Lord, I pray tonight that You would give him strength and continue to give him grace. We pray for Greg and Lynn, the same, that You would strengthen them, help them to be encouraged and to remember the promises of God that they never fail. Thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Alrighty.